Okay, how about some statistics? Drivers using phones are 4 times as likely to cause a crash as other drivers, and the likelihood that they will crash is equal to that of someone with a 0.08% blood alcohol level. That's a few drinks, at least. Still, most states have refused to ban texting while driving, and no state has banned driving while talking on a phone. Although some of us in the back seats of cabs tell our drivers that either they get off the phone or they drive and we'll get out of the cab. Anyway, today there is new reporting from our partner, the New York Times. They tell us that some of the reasons why this is going on, including some surprising reporting that the United States withheld the data that showed how risky distracted driving is. Joining us is Adam Bryant, New York Times deputy business editor, who's been editing this project. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Adam, this is a two-part story. The first part was that amazing piece you had on Sunday where the reporter Matt Richtel recounts a terrible story of a young man whose life was upended by texting. Just briefly, remind us what that was about.
Sure. He was a good kid with a clean driving record, stopped into a Goodwill store to check out a dresser for a neighbor, pulled out of the parking lot, was on his phone. And he broadsided a car that was coming from the other direction and killed the woman. She died just a few hours later, and he was basically distracted by his phone, and he's been distraught, and it's sort of a remarkable tale of how just anybody can do this. And I think, as some of your comments at the open of the show suggested, a lot of people do it.
Indeed. And I must say, before we move on, I think one of the most remarkable things about that story is part of his punishment is that he's got to go around and talk to young people about this, and they all are astonished that somebody actually hit somebody and killed somebody while doing it.
Yeah, and it really is. And again, your comments were great at the beginning of the show from the listeners. I really think it is something that everybody does at some point, and we all make that brief calculation in our head that, sure, maybe this is a little bit risky, but I'm pretty good at multitasking, and I really need to check my email, or I really need to take this call. And I think just collectively we're making all these small little decisions, but, across the country, I think it's pretty clear that adds up to a safety risk, especially when you look at the research. I mean, it's just, there's no doubt that it is dangerous.
Indeed. But and let's listen to another listener who told us what she does on the while she's driving.
I'm Sasha. I'm in Los Angeles, and I do T9. Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. But at the same time, with T9, you know, sometimes like I know that the wrong word is going to come up first, so I do have to take a glance to make sure which word came up.
So even when you've got the auto fill-in thing where it fills in the words, you're still in trouble. Let's, Adam Bryant, deputy business editor of the New York Times. Let's move on with you. Why has legislation failed in so many states when we know what the risk is?
Well, I think part of it is a lack of data, and it becomes a little bit of catch-22 that a lot of people say, well, there's not enough data to prove that it's a risk, but no states are really making the effort to gather the data. When accidents occur, police rarely, who arrive on the accident scene, the forms they fill out, there's generally no box to check that electronic devices played any role. So it just becomes this sort of circle where, well, there's not enough data to prove it's dangerous, but we're not making the effort to gather the data.
And indeed, there was supposed to be a study to determine how widespread this was. What happened to that study and why?
Well, that was part of the recommendations that were made in 2003 by NHTSA. They put together about 250 pages of research and documentation showing the dangers, made a number of policy recommendations, but they were never acted on. And it appears from talking to the people involved in that decision that there were a couple of reasons. One, back to this idea that the data was inconclusive and that there wasn't enough to sort of clearly state, although some people object to that. The other point is that there was concern about the Appropriations Committee in Congress that if NHTSA was perceived as lobbying states, that might hurt NHTSA's funding from Congress. And NHTSA's mission is to kind of set the agenda for the traffic safety for the nation. But some people were concerned that this would be sort of tripping over the line into them lobbying states, which was seen as kind of not an appropriate role for NHTSA.
So excuse me for being being a little naive here, but are you saying that the reason the study was done was they didn't want to see the results of the study because that could offend the people that had to act on the results of the study?
Well, I think some people are seeing our story that way. There's quite a few reader comments on our website that are raising that precise point.
What has been the response to your stories? I mean, we all heard the response to our putting out the call. And by the way, we do want to hear from more of you. Tell us the most terrible thing you've done, multitasking with your mobile phone while driving. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Adam Bryant, Deputy Business Editor at The New York Times, what are you hearing from your readers?
Well, so far on our website, we've got about 700 reader comments, and some people are sort of astounded that Christopher Hill, the man who killed the woman because he was driving and talking on his cell phone, that it was only a misdemeanor, and people say the laws have to be toughened. Some people say, you know, we just need to ban this outright, like many countries do. But there is a sort of broader question here, I think, about what we perceive as an accident in this country. If we figure that everybody is supposed to be able to talk on their phone while driving and they kill somebody or get in a crash, then, oh, well, that's just an accident. But it does seem to be starting a broader conversation of whether, you know, we are putting other people at risk by doing this in the first place. So that seems to be one of the interesting conversations this is starting. And also,
And the conversations, I want to interrupt you, Adam. I'm sorry. Conversation will go on. We'll talk about this more with you. Adam Bryant, New York Times Deputy Business Editor. You can see the full body of research on thetakeaway.org for a link to the documents.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.